Do you remember the picture of my son? It won a Pulitzer Prize. The picture of him lying dead on the sidewalk at Columbine High School. His name is Daniel. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. Did you know that the roots of the Columbine murder started back in 1967 when our Colorado lawmakers passed a law that allowed a baby to be put to death because her father was a criminal? In one evil law, they changed our country from a culture of life to a culture of death. Since that day, 50 million babies in this country have been killed through abortion. Will you stand with me? Will you stand in the place of just one of these victims? Join me as Colorado Right to Life presents the annual March for Life at the State Capitol, Saturday, January 21st at 1:30 p.m. I will share with you a story that few know. Join me, because abortion is always wrong.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I have significantly changed our website, the memorial to the four-year-old boy who was euthanized here in Colorado, dylanwalborn.com, specifically regarding the Denver Post reporting of Pastor Buddy Kahn, a local Christian pastor, who the Post indicated supported Dylan's mercy killing. Today, we had a lengthy face-to-face meeting with Pastor Kahn and his senior pastor, Michael Ware, of Colorado's Victory Church, and I am convinced that Pastor Kahn was completely unaware of and did not support the parents' decision to stop feeding their son. Therefore, I apologize to Pastor Kahn and Pastor Ware and to their church members for not contacting Buddy prior to accepting the story in the Denver Post as factual. Now, the Post reporter, Kevin Simpson, will not answer our calls or questions regarding Buddy Kahn's total repudiation. He completely denies that he was aware or supported the decision to stop feeding Dylan. Pastor Ware has committed to making an effort to correct the false public record as established by the Denver Post, and hopes to soon publicly publish a corrected account, hopefully in a Denver Post letter to the editor. There is more to say on this, and so what I'd like to do is dedicate tomorrow's show to recapping the Dylan Walborn story, the Denver Post effort to bring child euthanasia out of the closet in Colorado, and also, again, I reiterate, I should have contacted Pastor Kahn initially, and for not doing so, I am sorry. Okay, now I want to go to an article in WorldNet Daily. Wow. This Friday, there'll be a 2020 special with John Stossel titled, Are American Children Stupid? Now, that's a painful title for a network special report. But one of the men who provided background information to the producer of the special is a friend of this show, Bruce Short, who you will remember, Bruce, because of his involvement with the Southern Baptist in trying to get Southern Baptist parents to pull their kids out of our godless public school system. And we have on the line with us Bruce Short. Bruce, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Bob, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's an honor to have you on. And what an article you wrote at WorldNetDaily.com. Wow.
Well, thank you.
Could we talk about it? I know that you have a group, Family to Family, a homeschooling ministry support group. But I'd like to first talk about this article about what is going on in our public schools and with our Christian kids.
Sure.
So to start with, how about Dr. Albert Mohler? He's an important guy with the Southern Baptist, right?
Well, Al Mohler is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and that's our flagship seminary, and he's also really our leading theologian. And in the last couple of years in which we've been pushing resolutions at the national annual meeting for the convention, you know, not many leaders were stepping up and saying, you know, maybe there's a point here that we need to be listening to. But last June, just a few days before we went off to Nashville for the annual meeting, Dr. Moeller wrote an op-ed in which he discussed the issue quite openly. But his bottom line, after going through both sides of the debate, was that it's now time for responsible Southern Baptists to make to create an exit plan from the public schools.
And you know what? Praise the Lord for that, that we have a handful of Christian leaders around the country are saying what so many of us know to be true, that our kids are being hurt by the public school system and we should take them out. But I would tweak his timing a little bit there. He said it's now time. And I'd say he was off by about 200 years. But other than that, you know what? I'm really thankful for him to have the courage to tell this to parents. Now, how about the government schools themselves? You describe it as a pathology, you know, what's happening in our public school system. But what are they doing to our kids?
Well, you know, as I so often say, I mean, they're destroying our children spiritually, morally, and intellectually, and Christian parents need to decide just how dead they want their children to be.
Wow.
The fact is, and every year the stories get to be worse and worse and worse. And I suppose the most recent story that raised a lot of eyebrows was the story about the middle school sex survey that was taken in Florida. You know, as a result of that survey, they found that a very high percentage of middle school children
are having sex.
Yeah, we're having sex and a whole bunch of other things. And that led Cal Thomas to write, actually he's written two columns recently, saying that, you know, you really do need to take your kids out.
You need to vote with your feet. They won't listen to parents regarding curriculum. And immorality is taught as part of the curriculum. They affirm anti-Christian values aggressively in our public schools, and they're not going to change that, but you could change by taking your children out of the public schools.
Exactly, and I keep telling people that, you know, we have been doing the school reform happy dance for half a century, and the schools continue to get more expensive and worse. The net result is, you know, school reform efforts is simply to give people who want to do the wrong things more money to do the wrong things with.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to, Sunday night after Sunday night Bible study. We're in the book of Acts here at Denver Bible Church. And afterward, we went out for some fellowship. And one couple, the husband said, you know, I grew up as an atheist. And my public school teachers, the ones who were atheist, they were aggressive about proselytizing and trying to convert students to their belief in God or their atheism, whereas the Christians were timid and afraid to speak because, of course, they'd be fired.
Well, it's a very hostile environment. Many people don't realize that even with the best intentions in the world, superintendents, school boards, teachers really can't do much to change a lot of the things that are going on in the schools.
And you're talking about the small percent that would turn the schools into a godly environment if they could.
If they could, but the problem is that the rules are made way above their heads. And the courts, the Dover decision is a good example of how that happens. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why I think it's, your focus on the strategy DVD is so valuable, because it really does, I think, point out to non-lawyers, just how deep the problem is.
The hostility
with the legal system.
Yeah, our legal system it's legal positivist. We've elevated man's law, the Constitution, precedent above God and above thou shalt not murder. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California, you point out that they have decided parents have no constitutional right to prevent a public school from providing their students with whatever information the school wishes to provide, sexual or otherwise. And, you know, in a way, of course, Christian parents are up in arms, they're upset, but no kidding. No kidding. You have 1,000 kids in a school, you can't have 1,000 curriculums. It's the nature of a government school system where they're going to do what they want to do.
Exactly. It's, you know, there, and that actually, I think, causes a lot of people to be somewhat sympathetic to the school district, and it causes them not to recognize that it's a structural problem. There's no reform that's going to change that unfortunate fact.
Right.
And, you know, I have often told parents the goal here should not be to try to take a public school system that is funded by monies that are coercively taken and that are backed by compulsory attendance laws and turn them into Christian schools. Because then what you're doing is coercively attempting to proselytize others. What we need to be doing is returning to America's original educational tradition, which has been private Christian education.
And homeschooling and private Christian schools.
Yes.
Bruce, I don't think I've told you this story. We had a couple in Denver who, in fact, the man, he was one of our first elders at Denver Bible Church, and he recently died, a beautiful Christian man, Don Waldron. And his wife, Darlene, the two of them started an organization to get Christian parents at every school board meeting in the Denver metro area throughout the year. And they asked me to come to a meeting, and I went happily, and I presented to them that this Christian parents have been trying to do this forever. I remember my mother in the 1970s trying to be an influence for good in our public high school, and it was a disaster, the school. And I said, you know, you guys could be at every board meeting, and when you're done after 10 years, the schools will be worse because institutions don't repent. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. You'll be far more effective trying to warn people to get their kids out of the public schools. And you know what Don and Darlene Waldron did, Bruce?
No.
They said, you know what? You're right. We're gonna not do what we were doing. We're going to try to get kids out of the public schools.
Well, I'll tell you, I often am amazed at the amount of energy that people will put into school reform efforts, not recognizing that the same or even less effort would be enough to, you know, to homeschool their children.
Mm.
And I, you know, my basic, you know, proposition to parents who are doing that is to ask them why they're fiddling with the school board while their child's future is burning.
Oh, wow. You point out in your WorldNet Daily article, "Will Your Kids Be Christian?" is the title of the article by Bruce Short. You point out that the government schools have become foundries of ignorance and bad character. And boy, can we relate to that. Government schools are the nation's largest pusher of psychotropic drugs. Violent crime and sexual abuse of students in the government schools are far from uncommon. You know, the spot for the Colorado March for Life at the very beginning of the show, you might have heard it on hold, was recorded by Brian Rohrbaugh, whose son Danny was killed at Columbine. He keeps track of all the school shootings since Columbine, and it's just devastating. And the millions of children who are on Ritalin and the other psychotropic drugs. And you point out that the government schools now incorporate curricula and programs that are a threat to our children's physical and psychological health and are in many instances pornographic.
Well, that would describe just about any sex ed curriculum, but of course now, and I say now meaning I would say the last 5 years particularly, homosexual activists have been very effective in getting inside the schools. And in fact, most school districts in the country are collaborating with homosexual activists in one way or another, betraying the community's trust.
Right. What happens when a parent questions the wisdom of teaching six-year-olds about homosexual marriage? What do the education professionals say to the parent who says, this isn't right?
Well, it depends on the part of the country. I mean, if you're in Wisconsin or Massachusetts, they'll basically tell you to take a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah.
If you're in a state like Texas, a lot of times they just try to keep parents from finding out, and if the parents find out, they try to deny it, and if the parents finally, pin them down that it really is going on, they say there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, it varies depending on where you are, but, in the bluer states, they get quite aggressive about saying that we're not only doing this, we're going to do it in spite of the law that makes us ostensibly get your permission before we do it. We're going to ignore it, and they get away with it.
Now, is Colorado a blue state or a red state?
I think it's kind of a purple state.
Because in Colorado, on the, Adams County, District 14, I was a vice chairman of that district accountability committee, legislated by the state government for every school and every district. I was vice chair of the district accountability committee, and the high school, Adams City High, decided to start giving out condoms to kids. And I wrote an op-ed in the local papers and showed the research that would increase sexual activity and increase pregnancy. And, of course, they laughed at me. Parents filled the boardroom, the board meeting. They rejected any input from the parents whatsoever. They went ahead and did this, and over the next couple years, the pregnancy rate skyrocketed to where it made national news. Adams City High School had 108 babies born in one school year, 108. And that was a 70% increase from when they started giving out condoms, so much so that the Rocky Mountain News republished my resignation letter, that editorial, 3 years later as a speak-out column, and where I predicted, against, of course, all liberal wisdom, that giving condoms to kids would increase sexual activity and pregnancy, not decrease it.
Well, of course, liberals, if they're being candid, would tell you that, increased sexual activity is actually a good thing. It's a sign that children are becoming less repressed than their parents and so on.
You're exactly right. And, Bruce, that was in that editorial I did, the guest column. I quote it from the Rocky Mountain Planned Parenthood. One of their newsletters stated, quote, that it is our goal as educators to help students achieve sexual satisfaction before marriage, unquote.
There are some things that are just so loony. You don't know whether you should laugh or cry.
How many hours do kids sit in a public school, the typical kid who goes K through 12?
It's going to vary, but say 12 to 14,000 hours. 14,000 hours is probably close.
12 to 14,000 hours. And what did Jesus said something about teachers?
Well, in Luke, Christ tells us that a student is not above his teacher, and when he's fully trained, he will be like his teacher.
Wow. And so 14,000 hours of under a godless curriculum. And how do our kids come out? A majority of Americans are Christian. By the tens of millions, we go to evangelical and fundamentalist churches. How do our kids fare, our teenagers, as they graduate the public schools?
Well, there are a lot of people who claim to have studied the matter, and they're saying that anywhere from 70 to nearly 90% are leaving within 2 years after leaving the church, within 2 years after graduation from high school.
Right.
My point, however, has been that it doesn't really matter, whether the child's in church or not, if he doesn't actually have Christian beliefs. We could have 100% of our children in the church from cradle to grave, and if they don't believe that Christ is, the way, the truth, and the life, then, they're not Christians.
Yeah, the number one pollster in America for religious beliefs is George Barna, and you report one of his surveys that 4% of our teens can be considered evangelical Christian based on their beliefs.
That's right. He found about 4% of our teens actually have a Christian worldview. And, by that we're not talking about, do they have a profound understanding of systematic theology. We're dealing with basic questions like, was Christ a sinner? You know, and a majority of our teens think that Christ sinned while he was on earth. Mm. You know, those are the sorts of questions that they're failing, and those sorts of very basic questions. And so really what we have are a lot of people sitting in church or coming to church who aren't Christians, and unfortunately, a lot of that is the result of the education that they're receiving from the government school system. There was a, I don't know if I mentioned this in the article, but Christian Smith, who is a sociologist at the University of North Carolina, wrote a book that summarized the findings of the National Youth Religion Survey. And his conclusion, after interviewing hundreds of students, was that, you know, the primary religion in this country is not really Christianity. It's something he calls moralistic therapeutic deism.
Yeah, that's that is in this article, and I read that and found it fascinating what young people think about God. Christian young people, can I describe that? You titled
it. No, please, go right ahead.
Moralistic therapeutic deism. Young people who are supposedly Christian, they view God as just a distant God whose only commandment is to be nice and who doesn't become involved in anyone's life unless there's a problem. And that's what our Christian kids are becoming, and certainly the many millions of them who go to public school, that has to be a major factor.
It is, and it ought to be a very major concern for our pastors. They need to start thinking about causes and effects and whether or not we're actually discipling our children as we're commanded to do. And I think the answer is quite obviously that we're not. You know, you mentioned, you know, the number of hours, we were discussing the number of hours that children spend in public schools, but that's only the beginning, because in addition to that, those are seat hours. You have homework working in that curriculum. You've got after-school, you know, activities, and then, of course, too, just the association with other children within the school who increasingly are actually a very bad influence
on any
child from a Christian family.
And if you're a father, you send your daughter to Christian school. I've asked students, girls, boys who go to public schools, how many times a year do the girls get are they the target of sexual jokes? Do boys request sexual favors from the girls in front of other boys? How much sexual harassment is directed? How many times a year? And they look at me and they say, how many times a year? You mean how many times a day? It's like constant. It's nonstop. The things that an adult could be sued for in his business closed down because he said once or twice to an adult secretary are the kinds of things that are being unleashed on our daughters in the government schools because the public school system has given over to systematic sexual harassment of young girls in their domain, in their control.
It's an unfortunate thing, but, you know, when you think about the nature of that institution and you know, there's almost no way for anyone there to police it because they have no power of discipline anymore.
Yeah, no discipline. It's godless. It's evolutionary. We've come from animals. Okay, so Bruce Short, you've convinced me of the problem. The public schools are in a moral, intellectual, academic meltdown. How about Family to Family? What is that organization?
Homeschooling Family to Family is really a call to experienced homeschoolers to become more evangelical. You know, a lot of us started homeschooling with the help of a friend who helped us along the way a little bit in the first year or so. And the problem that I see with those of us who homeschool is that we've become a bit complacent. You know, it's a great thing for our families, and we're no longer being harassed as we once were by truant officers and the government generally. And so we've been kind of content to just sort of settle back in our easy chairs and breathe a sigh of relief. And we've got to change that. I mean, we have got to become more evangelical. And so the basic idea here is, in the course of a year, if you homeschool, and I have never run into a homeschooler who would say this hasn't been true for them, you're going to run into, you know, 5, 6 families, usually friends, neighbors, or relatives, who will ask you question after question after question about homeschooling. They're clearly interested,
Right.
But they're a little bit afraid of stepping over the line. And what we often tend to do is, you know, we'll answer all the questions. And then
we're done.
And say, have you got any more? And they say no. And say, okay, thanks.
In other words, we have to learn how to close the deal.
Exactly.
How to lead people through the next step of saying, here's how you actually go about becoming a homeschool family.
And what we have suggested to people for closing the deal is that, you know, once you've gone through this, you know, series of questions, make an offer that they can't refuse. Tell them, look, you know, we know you're interested. Let's do this together. Come on down to the, you know, the homeschool co-op. We'll introduce you to people. We'll help you figure out what to do with curriculum. We can go to a homeschool convention or fair together. When you're having, you know, you're doing this and having problems, you can always call me and I'll let you know that it's normal. We'll make it a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll mentor you, as it were, along the way for the first year or so.
So family to family helps people learn the skills of how to do that, encourages them?
Well, you know, actually, no. I mean, we do have a website. We do provide DVDs. We do provide materials for people who want them. But fundamentally, you know, homeschooling is something that varies all over the place. And people who've been homeschooling, the ones we're really targeting, have been doing this for 4 or 5 years or more, you know, they have a pretty good handle on how to do this, and we don't want to tell them, you know, that you need to bring someone along in a specific way. They're the ones who know the situation. The main thing is just to get them, you know, to come alongside that other family and bring them on in. Now, we'll give them whatever support, we can, but, you know, fundamentally, the people who've been homeschooling for a while have got generally a solid approach, and they'll be able to work with their friends much more effectively than some program designed from on high.
So, Bruce, your goal is to bring a million additional children into homeschooling. What is your website?
It's homeschoolingfamilytofamily.org.
All right.
And, as I tell people, you don't need anybody's permission to do this. Just go do it. Make it happen.
All right. And certainly checking out your website will help encourage people, get them to think through this, spend a little more time with the idea. Homeschoolingfamilytofamily.org. We're about out of time, Bruce. Can you give us a last word of encouragement?
Well, you know, I think that if we're faithful, there's nothing that we can't do. And just one last thing I should mention to you, Bob. I've been reading through the plot again, and it's fascinating. And I would encourage anybody who's listening,
Bruce,
who wants a challenging read, to take a look at that.
Well, I'm going to have to invite you back, or maybe I'll give you 20 minutes to cut that out. How about that? Hey, Bruce, thank you so much.
And it's my pleasure.
Keep fighting the fight, and we're rooting for you, and we want to continue to support what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. I do follow what you've been...
In your book, the title of your book...
The Harsh Truth About Public Schools.
We carry that book. We sell it. And if anybody wants to pick up a copy of The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And we'll sell you a copy. Bruce Short, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. God bless you. What a neat guy. And, boy, he mentioned two of our materials, right? Focus on the Strategy, DVD. Now, if Bruce Short has seen that and you haven't, you got to call us or go to our website, kgov.com, and get the DVD, Focus on the Strategy. Check out the plot, the overview of the Bible. It's fun to read. And then Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen, Maranatha.